Hey everybody, it's Dan. So in this video I want to talk to you about why I made the decision to invest in property rather than any other asset class.
So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
Hey everybody, it's Dan, hope you're well today. So I'm just on my way to pick up the little one from school, and so I thought I'd just do a quick video about why I chose to use property as my vehicle towards financial freedom, increased wealth, cash flow, lifestyle and so on. So I see a couple of people and they're like, you know, buy Bitcoin, buy gold, Forex. So let's cover those one by one. Bitcoin is not an asset. I mean, it's an asset, but to me, an asset is something that puts money in your pocket. Bitcoin doesn't put money in your pocket on a regular basis. Definitely not a month-by-month basis. In fact, it can take money out of your pocket. I mean, you know, it's so volatile, goes up and down and up and down. I like predictability, and Bitcoin is not predictable. Okay, so, and it's gambling, as far as I'm concerned. Now, have I got Bitcoin? Yes, I have. It's in a pension connected to an ETF, which means that any increases are tax-free. So very efficient. It's about to come to a close. Probably has come to a close, actually. Nobody else can actually sign up to that. So I got in a couple of years ago on Bitcoin, and we're just going to let that fly for the next 10 years, see where it gets us, okay? But again, it's very volatile. It's high risk. It's not predictable, there's no cash flow, because in order to get cash I have to sell the asset, right? So that's not cash flowable. You might be able to, you know, sell it, but then you haven't got the capital, so how is that cash flow, right? So that's really important to me. And it's the same with gold. Gold is basically a physical version of Bitcoin, or Bitcoin is a digital version of gold, right? It's useless other than, you know, it's used in micro electronics, but you know, it's pretty useless. I can't do anything. I can't eat it. If I want to live off gold, I have to sell the gold and use the cash off that. Very tax inefficient. There's no cash flow. Gold for me, and anything like that, precious metals, stamps, art, that's not an asset. An asset is something that puts money in your pocket. And for me, I want something that puts money in my pocket every single month. So one of the targets that I had quite some time ago now was to have 31 properties, because I wanted to get paid every single day of the month. I read it somewhere and I thought, oh, that really resonates with me. That's something that I'd like to do as well. So that's why we did it in that way. I mean, obviously we started buying more and more and more, as you do. But gold, again, not predictable. I can't pull cash out of it, so it doesn't cash flow unless I sell the capital, which is like killing the golden goose that lays the eggs, you know, the golden eggs. Not that the goose is golden, but the goose that lays the golden eggs. So I don't want to do that. I want to keep the cash flow flowing. What else did we say? So we said Bitcoin, we said gold. Forex, let's talk about Forex. Can you pull cash out? Not without releasing the capital expenditure. If you've got 100 grand sat in Forex and you want to, you know, live on that, 2 grand a month, you have to sell your capital amount, which means you can't make as much money if you're using proper risk management. Those who understand Forex will know what I mean by that. You know, 1 or 3% is all you should risk during any particular trade. But if you've only got 50 grand in there, you know, 1% of 50 grand is what, £500? 1% of 100 grand is £1,000. So you're ruining your risk management, effectively. So, and again, it's gambling. It's very, very tax efficient, however, because you don't pay any tax, because it's gambling. So that's why you don't pay tax, because it is literally gambling, and it's seen by the government as that. But, you know, I see people going on about Forex. They don't last long. You make more money selling how to make money on Forex than actually making money on Forex. And, I, don't get me wrong, in property, I see some gurus, they make a lot more money, millions of pounds of revenues every single year. If I don't make that on property, I would be very surprised if I had like more than 10 houses. They've got a couple, you know, to kind of get used to it. But owning property is a hassle. Managing property is a hassle. Dealing with tenants is a hassle. Handling handymen and new fridge freezers and washer dryers, and my roof's blown off, and service charge companies and illegal cladding that you then have to pay for a 24-hour watch, you know, because of Grenfell, is hard work, right? So on one hand, you've got Bitcoin, gold, and what else did I say? Art and Forex, okay? You don't have any of those problems. It's one of the things that I do like about things like stocks and shares, which we'll talk about in a second, is that I can buy stocks and shares. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to send someone around to fix the toilet. I don't have to deal with tenants who call you all sorts of rather unnice things because you've asked them to pay the rent and they're now 3 months in arrears. I mean, we got a text message. We just issued a county court claim. It's just been confirmed. We sent a tenant a message saying, just so you know, you now got a county court claim, a county court judgment against you. Before we issue bailiffs, do you want to have a quick chat and organise a repayment method? And they just came back and said some really awful things, right? That's all right. She's upset. I'm a grown-up. I understand it. That's up to her. But we are going to use the full force of the law to recover funds, right? You don't have to do any of that if you're buying stocks and shares. If you've got 500 shares of Marks and Spencers, don't know even why anybody would do that. Retail's dead or dying in its current format. But, you know, you don't have to sit in on board meetings or have to deal with shoplifters who've stolen some product. It's a set and forget. And so we were very lopsided on property, and we're just trying to actually make up for that now through greater investments in assets such as stocks and shares, because they pay a dividend. And a dividend is basically, you know, maybe 6% a year, like AT&T. So if you've got 100 grand of AT&T, they'll pay you £6,000 a year. You don't have any hassle, there's no debt issues, there's no tenant issues, there's no boiler maintenance. It's predictable, largely, although the stock market can go up and down. And also, you know, depending on the industry, we talked about Marks and Spencers, which is just devastated right now because it's in retail, because everything's shut because of not Brexit, what is it? Because of COVID. So that can be a bit of a nightmare. So you've got to choose your industries carefully. But actually, if all you're doing is putting money into the FTSE 100, you've got 50 different industries anyway, so you're more than covered. And the risk is spread across all 100 top 100 companies in the UK. So we're really up for stocks and shares. Because think about this. It's predictable. It generates cash flow. It can be tax efficient if you use like an ISA up to £20,000, £21,000, £22,000. Or you could put it through your pension and you don't pay tax on that. So you're able to invest more money because you get tax relief and so on. But you're going to get taxed at the other end when you then draw your pension out. So, like this is really important for people to understand, is that the amount of financial literacy, like if I'm sounding like I'm speaking Klingon right now, that's a great thing to happen. And the reason is that you know then that you've got gaps. If you don't know what a dividend is, if you don't understand, you know, what a share split is and how that works, we had advantage of that with Tesla just late last year. And the share price shot up again, which as predicted. But if you don't understand some of these key words and terms and phrases, it's like, this is one of the reasons why you're never going to be wealthy. You've got to learn to speak the language of money and dividends and corporation tax and all this stuff. You've got to understand your tax position. How much do you get paid as a dividend in tax? Like, how much do you get taxed if you get dividends? What's the limits? And how do they change? And how does that affect you? You've got to understand this. And not just read a book, but you've got to fundamentally understand this to the extent where that if you and I had a conversation about it, we would both understand what we're talking about. We might disagree on some of the strategies, which is fine, by the way. But you actually both understand what the conversation is actually about and what the risks are from a tax point of view and why Bitcoin is more risky than stocks and shares and why it's not as predictable and why it's not scalable and all this other stuff. You've got to be able to understand all that stuff. My worry right now is that too many people do not understand the terminology. They cannot have this level of conversation. And I mean, I've got coaching clients, and I tend not to take on too many coaching clients because I don't want too many coaching clients. It takes up too much of my valuable time. But one of the reasons why they stick with me is that they can actually have a conversation that's at a level that's up here rather than a conversation with a mate down the pub or the husband or wife, which is lower down, because they don't understand it. I've got one friend whose wife is so averse to investing in property. Everything's risky, and she's panicking from it, and she just doesn't understand it. And that's not her fault, that's her background, that's her parents, and so on. You've got to be able to go out and find people that actually understand this level of conversation and can get drunk on that level of conversation and enjoy that level of conversation. And your net worth and your wealth will actually increase just because of that. All right, I hope that's useful for you. Just pulling up at the school. We'll catch up with you in the next video. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.